Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
Welcome back. Second half of the show is on. Ross Dellinger reporting at this hour that the CFP presidents are going to meet on Friday. It looks like things are back on the table. It's important to think that I think at worst they're going to come out with a playoff in 2026, but keep your eye on this. It's possible that they could decide to go ahead and start this thing earlier, and you say, how could that happen after what we went through last year with this ridiculous alliance? Could be the fact that a lot of these leagues, like the ACC, the Big 12, and of course the Pac-12, are going to take another look and go, hey, in the Big 10, I might add, we need the money, especially considering it could be $450 million at stake a year. So, can you ever trust these things to happen correctly? Yes, in this case. These are not commissioners. These are not petty commissioners voting. These are presidents who actually understand what's important. Let's get to Coach Jim Donnan, the former Georgia coach, the Hall of Famer, joining us as the college football season begins in earnest. Coach, good afternoon. How are you? Coach, you there?
They need to get in the playoffs.
You're right. I mean,
they need more games here. So let's get more teams.
Absolutely. Well, it's great to talk to you again. Can't wait to get your thoughts on the season. And as you watch all this preseason hype, I'm curious, when you were a coach, could you say some of the things that these coaches say with a straight face? Because I've never heard propping up more of these secondary opponents in my life. Were you like that?
You know, I think you got to do a little bit of it, but be realistic. But, I think the biggest thing is get your own team ready and understand that sometimes that we see some of these upsets with teams that just don't expect them to come in. You got to get your younger players ready that haven't played. But certainly we've got some teams that look like Ben Hur that some of these teams set up, that's for sure.
That's funny. Well, Coach, let's talk about a couple of games since we've been talking to you about teams. But we have real games, and I want to start with the big one in your state because you know that Georgia program so well. You live there. Your former pupil, Kirby Smart's the head coach, and has done so well. So as you hear all the chatter and know the personnel and know a little bit about Oregon, of course, Bo Nix, the quarterback, What are your thoughts and what should fans be concentrating on Saturday afternoon?
Well, first of all, I think it's probably unique to see two teams from the Pac-12 coming across the Mississippi River and opening up like Utah in the swamp, and then certainly Oregon coming in here to play us in the Mercedes-Benz. But as far as Oregon, new coach Dan Lanning knows the Georgia players, that's for sure. I don't think I've ever remembered two teams playing against the same defense in a game like this in the first game. But, more than likely he'll use the Alabama-Georgia defense that Kirby's run and, certainly will run ours. But a lot of transfers in there for the Oregon Ducks, so a lot of people up in the air as far as who's going to be manning certain positions. But they got two tremendous linebackers in Flo and one of the best players in the country. And then the other kid is just outstanding. He's just up for the Butkus Award. So I think the biggest thing for us is just everybody's talking about who we got to replace on defense and all that. But offense has got a lot of really good weapons back and should be able to score some points and maybe get a lead and maybe our defense can play better. But I don't really feel sorry for our defense. We got two of the top two of the top 10 players in the country, and Ringo and Jalen Carter, and a lot of good recruits over the years. And you know Kirby will have them ready, but it's certainly an auspicious start to have to go against the Oregon Ducks. But I think Kirby likes that, and we did well in the first game last year against Clemson, and I expect us to do well Saturday.
Let me get to the game in the Swamp on Saturday night, because in some ways this maybe is intriguing a matchup, because if Florida wins, then suddenly a lot of momentum goes to the new coach, Billy Napier. But he's playing a really good program in Utah. But people make a big deal about, as you said, crossing over. Utah heading from way out west to the Swamp on a Saturday night. What should we look for there?
Well, it's certainly a different situation than they play in normally out at the Pac-12. But, you know, they play in some good venues. But coming in the Swamp at night with all the new hype and new coach and the fact that Florida does have some good players. I think Richardson is among the better quarterbacks in the country. But for our fans that don't know a lot about Utah, they won the Pac-12 championship last year. They got a tremendous quarterback in Cam Rising. They really got a good scheme offensively. They can, he took Ohio State to the last play of the game in the Rose Bowl last year, and they got a lot of valuable members from that team back. So I think it's about as tough an opener as Billy Napier could have coming in there. But, you got to hope that the mystique of the Swamp will help them and all that, but it's going to be a tough opener for them for sure.
Coach, when so many times we'll bring this up with Lanning and obviously Billy Napier, when you take over a program, as you have many times, what's that first game like? You know your team, but it has to be different, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you think you know them, but at the same time, all spring, you're trying to get to know your team, but you're also out raising money and meeting alumni and going to booster programs to try to get things going and selling tickets and everything. And I think sometimes you don't know enough about your own team, and you know a lot more about the alumni. So it's very important that you build that bond with those kids, because, it's kind of like a divorce. You're taking over somebody else's kids, and you really haven't gotten to know them like you need to. But it's very important that you build some chemistry early, and the routine things that all of us take for granted, the press box communication, the halftime adjustments, all those things, as much as you practice them, it's still not like being in the heat of battle. So it'll be a tough opener for both these coaches.
You've been very successful, part of national championships at the biggest programs around, from your time at Oklahoma to winning them at Marshall. But in Napier's case, I mean, he's been very successful at a good program, but now he's on a different type of stage. When you made that move to Georgia, what do you feel in that first game? How is it? What is it like?
Well, I hope he feels better after the game than I did in mine, because we got our butt beat by Southern Miss. But I think it's just really important that you understand that, like Billy has, he's been to the dance. He's been coaching at Alabama, at Arizona State. He knows what big games are all about. And he grew up as a coach's son. So I've always been impressed with Billy. I think he'll do a great job there. And the biggest thing for him is just to articulate the message that he wants to his players and coaches, and hope that they can play well under pressure. You know, when you got a quarterback like Richardson that can run and pass and make things happen with his legs, that really helps a new dynamic to your team. And I think maybe their receiver corps is down a little bit, but they got two good backs. You know, I look for this team to improve dramatically as the season progresses, and it'll be a team that'll be ready pretty quickly for that Kentucky team right off the bat there in a big conference matchup.
I was talking to some friends of mine this morning in Arkansas, Coach, and that program seems like it's on fire, but there's also the reality of a schedule. Not only Cincinnati, they have a road game in the middle of the season at BYU, and, of course, all the usual suspects in the SEC. What are your thoughts on KJ Jefferson and what Sam Pittman has done in Fayetteville?
Well, right off the bat, he's done a tremendous job, and he's assembled a really good staff, and he's picked up some transfers. He actually has two from Georgia that will be starting for him, Landers and Breeny, who are really good players. You know, Georgia's got eight players in the SEC that have eligibility that are playing for other teams right now. So Burton, a really good receiver. Cox playing down at Florida along with Kimber. A lot of good players that couldn't play at Georgia are playing for other teams. But I think Sam Pittman really personifies what it means to get that lifetime job. You know, he's been waiting as an assistant coach. He really relates to the people of Arkansas. He's just a player's coach anyhow. I mean, he's always been a O-line coach, and he's really gotten his kind of tough guy philosophy across to those kids, and they've won some really close games there at Arkansas, and it's made the difference in having a bowl team and being a team that's not that good. But at the same time, the closer you get up to the top of the mountain and everybody get those expectations, the more the wind blows. You know that, Paul. And certainly starting out with Cincinnati, who really has a good team, lost some good players to the pros. But I think we could see some hammer and tong by Arkansas in this game. I think they can line up and get after them with their running game. And it'll be a tough task for Cincinnati to go in there and win at Razorback Stadium.
Talking to Jim Donnan, the former Georgia coach, I want to ask you about the Auburn situation. We had Brian Harsin on about an hour ago, and you know, he was talking about T.J. Finley winning the job. Ashford's there, who started out at Hoover, went to Oregon. Calzada clearly was the favorite going in. Does that tell you anything about Auburn? And I realize the first 2 weeks are layups, but it gets serious very quickly after that.
You know, you got an established guy there in Finley who's been around the program and knows what Harsin wants. It's tough to come in and win the job as a transfer. We saw Max Johnson not win the job there at A&M, and certainly Calzada is probably the only guy in that Auburn building that has a win over Alabama. So, you know, like you said, he was probably the favorite. But Finley has shown me a lot over the years. And he certainly did what they needed to last year in that big win when it looked like it was going to be just a death knell type deal against Georgia State. It looked like the game was over, and he came in and saved them. But, you know, Auburn's on Tulsa time right now. I mean, they're living on Tulsa. I mean, they got to get something going here now because, you know, when the coach, they're talking about letting him go in March and April in his first year, I mean, everything he does is going to be scrutinized. And he's had a good background. He knows how to win. You know, he's won at Boise. He was a good coordinator for Mac Brown at Texas. But I think the biggest thing for them is just personnel right now. They don't have as many good players as just about any team in the SEC except maybe Vanderbilt. So they got to get their squad numbers up and get better players.
Yeah, Coach, I doubt it makes you feel very good when the guy who hires you in a controversial decision gets fired before the season begins. I mean, you've dealt with a lot of adversity, a lot of good times. That's not a good feeling, is it?
Yeah, that's not the way you want to start the week out going into the office, and the guy that hired you is history, and particularly if it's the AD or president. But, you know, I think Auburn certainly, and you and I have talked about it off the air, on the air, everywhere. There's a lot of people at Auburn that have a lot to say about what's going on that probably aren't as a lot of us know, but people around the country might know. But I think Auburn has as many people off the field running things as any place in the country, don't you?
Yeah, and I'm curious about that before we go. You know, there's a chain of command. I mean, how many times have you heard a president, you know, stand up with his bow tie tightened around his neck saying, I don't hire the football coaches. I hire the athletic director. But at Auburn, I think the AD did hire the football coach. That's why he's no longer the AD. But most of the time, the boys in the smoke-filled room usually hire them. And I know that.
Right.
I mean, that happens a lot of places, but it seems like Auburn leads the parade in that one.
Yeah, I think in this case, the AD actually hired the guy with, and everybody was thinking that Steele was going to get the job. I mean, that's what everybody thought, and then especially those guys in the smoke-filled room, because they were ready to do what they had to do to compete with Alabama, you know, with all this NIL and stuff. But and certainly, it's always a tough deal for Alabama and Auburn going back and forth like that. But the one thing you can say about old Gus, he did beat Alabama a couple times.
Sure did.
And certainly looks like he's going to have another good team at Central Florida. But I think Auburn is a place you should win. It's a great tradition. You and I know about Coach Dye and Coach Jordan. But the reality is, for all of us, this is 2022, baby. You got to get it done this year for Harsin. I think it's, you know, this is really a big year for him, that's for sure.
Before you go, I want to ask you, because, I mean, you've been around a lot of coaches. I mean, most coaches do not coach in their 70s, obviously. Paterno, Bowden, somebody that you know well and or knew well. Nick Saban continues to deflect the age questions. What is different in the 70s, Coach?
Yeah, I just think everybody, you know, if you take care of yourself, I know I would have never thought I felt like I could still play tennis at 77, but when I was 50. But, you know, I think Nick certainly is in good shape. He loves the fight. He loves to go to work every day, and certainly he's getting paid a lot of money. But
yeah.
He's got a machine over there, just like we got one over here now. I mean, he's got recruiting set up, but it's just I don't really think that you can set a number anymore about when a guy needs to stop or you know, like I always liked that when somebody said the coach has got burnout. Now, what do? You look down his throat? Does that tell you he's got burnout? Or how do you know he's burnout? I mean, come on. So I don't think anything's going to happen to Nick as far as health situation, hopefully. And that would be the only reason to me why he wouldn't keep coaching. But the reason he keeps saying he wants to keep coaching is because of this recruiting. He's not going to say, well, I'm just going to coach two more years. You think everybody wouldn't jump on that?
Remember when Spurrier said that once? He said, I may coach another year or two. I mean, and there was an uproar, and he had to walk it back quickly.
Yeah, they'll be on that like a piranha. I mean, it was kind of like Tom Osborne said when Barry Switzer retired. You know what he said?
I don't remember, but tell me.
Yes. I mean, that's what everybody would be saying around the world there in the SEC if they heard that Nick was going out.
Well, unfortunately, we have come to the end of the segment. We went long because we love having you on. Coach, be well. Hope to see you soon, and we will continue our conversations as the season gets going.
Hope to see you over here for a game, Paul. See you, buddy.
You can count on it. Jim Dodden, who's really he could have been a comedian if he wasn't a Hall of Fame coach. We'll take a break. Back after this.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hey, welcome back. Carl is up next in Georgia. Good afternoon, Carl.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
First-time caller. I want to respond to Legend, if you don't mind.
Please.
First of all, he needs to really see about his nitrous oxide addition, that laughing gas cannot be healthy. As far as Stetson Bennett goes, and last year, Legend just told everybody on the Paul Feinbaum show that Alabama lost to a leprechaun and a stupid coach. So I got four numbers for Legend, 41, 38, and 33, 18. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your call. John is in Charleston. Good afternoon to you.
Hey, Paul, how are you?
Doing great. Thank you.
Good. Hey, couple of things. First thing, I'm a big dog fan, but I'm concerned about Larry. I want Larry to know that as SEC fans and fans of the show, that we're all behind him, and that I lost my dad. He was kind of going down the road, Larry is. But anyway, that we're all behind him, and we support him. But I want to get your opinion on the Dogs-Oregon game and how it's going to fare up with Bo Nix and Lanning versus the Dogs' defense. What your thoughts are there?
Yeah, I mean, I think Bo is a serviceable quarterback at this point in his life. He's capable, but I've never seen enough of him to have me believe that he is going to be able to make a difference in this game. And I just think the Georgia offense is going to be overpowering. The defense can hold up. As Coach Donnan said, with Carter and Ringo, I mean, you start with two of the top players in America, and all these guys that didn't start last year probably could have started pretty much everywhere else. I mean, Georgia's defense was that good and that deep. So I'm not overly concerned. I think Lanning ultimately will be a really good coach, but there is a tremendous learning curve. I don't care how much you know about the other side, and Georgia has a guy that knows all about them. Those things don't matter. They play the same defense anyway, as Coach said. And I think it's a game, if I had to play with it in my head, you know, it's a decent game. And then at the end, it looks like a lot of Georgia games last year. Georgia, you know, turns a 7-point halftime lead into about a 3-touchdown win.
Right. Well, and you know, like last year, I don't think anybody saw the defense coming like as dominant as they were last year. Hopefully we've got some guys that are going to step up and do the same thing. I don't know if anybody can match that, but we certainly hope that.
I think one thing about Kirby Smart, I think these are really good games for him, where, you know, this isn't like opening up against somebody where you're going to live off of last year. I mean, he knows how difficult this could be. And I think that gives you an incentive. I think teams, McElroy said it the other day, teams play a little bit harder when they practice a little bit harder when they have one of these big games. And this is a big game. It's not getting the national attention. It's kind of the afterthought after the Notre Dame Ohio State game. But that's just such a brand game. And it's sucking a lot of the oxygen out of the sport. Cat Daddy is up next.
Big Paul, you're looking good and sounding good. I was telling you a joke the last time I was telling you. My wife, Velveeta, came in and said, "Cat Daddy, you can't tell that joke." So I got a new one for you. Can I tell it?
You may.
All right. There's a Georgia fan, a Clemson fan, and a South Carolina fan on Lookout Mountain, and they all ask each other, who loves your school more than anybody else? The Georgia fan says, I love my Bulldogs. He jumps off the mountain, and the Clemson fan sits there and says, oh, I can't believe that. Well, a South Carolina fan says, I'm going to show you how much I love my Gamecocks. So he pushes the Clemson Tiger off the mountain. I love that joke.
And we are coming back with more humor just like that in a moment.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back. Let's check out Gary in Wyoming. Hello, Gary.
Hello, Paul. Thanks for taking the call, bud.
Thank you.
Hey, I want you to follow along with this, okay? I'm going to pick your mind here a little bit. It goes back, I'll say this much, it goes back to 2010 when Texas and Alabama played. And that's all I'll say about it for the moment. But I want you to think about for a minute, you have a son, you raise him, he starts out in Pop Warner football, advances throughout the years, you see his friends come over to the house that are on the football team, they grow up together, and then he goes to college. He's a successful quarterback. He stays there throughout his career, does his time. Knows everybody, you know, and trains with them, has a great offensive line. And one day, they make it to the national championship. He gets in the game. He plays. And in the third quarter, he's hurt. Second quarter. He's not hurt bad enough that he couldn't play the remainder of the game. But they're not sure if he should or not because he's going to be playing on Sundays. You're in the locker room with him, and you're looking at him. And what would you tell him? Should he go back in and play for the championship, or should he think about his career on Sundays?
Gary, I would say of the college football players that I know, who I don't know a single one that wouldn't, assuming he had the green light, and I know the situation because I was there, would have gone out and played for the national championship. That's what you work for. You can't, and I'm not talking about a situation where, you know, you're going against the doctor's advice. When you're gambling, this is a situation where if you can do it, you do it. And I know that there's a lot of disagreement on that. And you're telling part of the story here. There was also parental advice here. I think if you can.
Right. And that's why I'm asking you, Paul.
Yeah, no, I was never in a situation like that. But I would, if my son was capable without, and the medical staff said you're okay to give it a shot, I would have said go for it. This is something that you will remember your whole life.
I'm glad you said that, Paul. I felt the same way. I'm not a Longhorn fan, but I couldn't believe that game. I could not believe that.
Yeah, and what's interesting, Gary, about that is that, you know, since then the Longhorn fans have taken up the narrative. If Colt had been in the game, it would have been different. Well, maybe they're right. But he could have been in the game, and that's what we have established here in this conversation. Now, I don't know Colt's father.
Right.
Don't give two rips whether I ever run into him or not. But yep. And I don't know exactly what it was said, but what we have done is describe pretty much what we believe happened.
Yep. Well, and to go along with what you'd said earlier about maybe they might eliminate the bowl games and go expand the playoff scheme this year, that's what it's all about. It's about money. I mean, the bowl games are losing money. You've got players that aren't showing up that are more concerned about their future careers than they are the team. And I don't even know if the playoff scheme in the long run is going to be the answer. I really don't. But
Gary, to me, and I have a lot of I've asked this question to friends of mine who are now working with us who have been in games. And they all say they wouldn't have played in some of these bowl games. But there's a difference. And what we're talking about is the 2009 season. There was only one game. It was the BCS championship between Alabama and Texas. It's the biggest game in the world. It's at the Rose Bowl. And I've watched NBA players come off the bench and do serious damage. But that's usually against the advice of the medical staff. And one thing about, and I know a lot of sports medicine specialists, yeah, they can be aggressive because that's where we are in sports medicine right now. But I don't know a legitimate orthopedic surgeon, trainer, who would send somebody out if they didn't clear them. I'll give you the cliche that you've heard a million times. I mean, there's a difference between, you know, being hurt and working through pain. Every good college football player, every good football player in high school has to play through a lot of pain. They should never play through an injury. That's ridiculous. That's foolish.
Right.
That's what we were talking about here, though. I think Colt McCoy could have played. That's my opinion from being in the press box, not from being in the locker room with him.
Take care of yourself, Paul. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it very, very much. We're heading to a break. It's been a good show. Brian Harsin joined us earlier. L. Duncan, you had Coach Donnan. And out-of-pocket premieres, and we will get the latest on that right after this.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
What is up, Paul Feinbaum crew? It's your out-of-pocket squad here. Dre Carter, Alyssa Lang, back for another season. How did they let us back
for
a second season together?
They brought us back. Who knew they were going to bring us back? But they did. Here we are.
Oh, man. We're so excited for the SEC season to really get underway this weekend. Let's start with some quarterbacks. Spencer Rattler, of course, making his debut in a South Carolina Gamecock uniform, coming over from Oklahoma after a pretty tumultuous season a year ago. He reunites with Coach Beamer, someone he knew from OU. How will he do for South Carolina? We'll find out.
And as far as Missouri, to the other Columbia we go, Brady Cook. Listen, his name is Brady. He wears the number 12.
Goat.
So good things are in store for Missouri. Grew up in St. Louis, went to Missouri games growing up. There was a four-man competition for this job at one point. Brady Cook got the nod.
Hey, you sold me with Brady and number 12.
Like
you're going to be in College Station for this one. Jimbo Fisher naming Haynes King the starting quarterback yet again. It's a familiar story from a season ago. Haynes King was the starter for the 2021 season. Of course, goes down with that injury, but he's back. He's healthy and he's fast.
I remember watching Haynes King because I had them week one last season. Very excited for Haynes King. And this is your game, actually, but do you know who you're going to be talking to when it comes to the quarterback? Because Luke Altmyer, Jackson Dart. Jackson Dart is the transfer, apparently. We don't know who they're going to be. Let's see what Coach Kiffin says.
We still have not made a quarterback decision. I thought they both played okay. I would have thought again we would have performed better in that situation against, you know, the other team. And so we'll keep plugging away. I do not know when I'll have that answer. We haven't even discussed the timeline.
Yeah, when it can't come to my game preparation, I'm preparing for both. All of them. Maybe both at the same time. Who knows?
You would hope that they would be like some schools, they'll be like, we don't know who it is, but it's going to be this person. So here's who you should talk to. And I'm like, thank you so much.
Right.
You haven't gotten any.
No, and you know, maybe when we get to Oxford, it'll be a different situation. But what a good problem for Coach Kiffin to have, right? Both guys have been playing so well throughout fall camp that we're sitting here on Wednesday, 2 days before Saturday, 2 days before game. And he's like, yeah, I don't know.
You hope, if you're an Ole Miss fan, that it's that they're playing well, right? You hope that it's not that, like, neither of them have shined and neither of them look that great. So they're a little nervous about who they're going to. You hope that, yeah, they're both playing extremely well. One hasn't risen above the other, because that could be a great problem to have.
Absolutely.
Think about all the schools that we talk to, and they're like, yeah, if QB1 goes down, we don't know.
We are in trouble.
Yeah, exactly. So it could be a good problem.
Last couple seasons have shown us the importance of having a good backup, even when you go back to those Alabama teams with Jalen Hurts and Tua Tagovailoa. Kind of playing switcheroo on who's going to be the starter. So we'll see what it looks like for Ole Miss. So many QB battles throughout fall camp. Which one has stood out to you the most? Which one are you most excited to see kind of come to fruition?
I'm excited about all the ones where I feel like there has been an actual battle, right? Like, what's going on at LSU? I know that Brian Kelly says that they know who it's going to be, but they're not announcing it for, what did he say, strategic purposes?
Yeah, strategic advantage.
Yeah, exactly.
We're going to war out here,
and
folks.
This is also a situation where you have a transfer coming in Jaden Daniels, right? And then you've got someone who has been there for a couple of seasons, a season or so, and he's been there, and you don't know who it's going to be. And with this one, I think it's particularly interesting because both quarterbacks are so different, right? Garrett Nussmeier is more in the pocket. Jaden Daniels is going to escape the pocket. And so when you're trying to decide your quarterback, it's almost like, yes, their leadership skills, but also, like, what style of football do we want to play? And I think that's more interesting.
That's why if I had to guess, I would lean towards Daniels, just because what was the number one question everyone was asking Brian Kelly when he got to Baton Rouge was, how are you going to figure out the offensive line? How are you going to make sure that we are bolstering this line here at LSU? If there's still question marks there, you have to have someone who can make plays with their feet. I don't know. I don't have any inside information or anything, but I would guess Daniels for that reason.
Yeah, 100%. But just to counter, it could be like, no, we're going to go with Garrett Nuss because he can get the ball out of his hands quickly. And we've got weapons on the outside. So we actually need someone that's going to get the ball out of their hands quickly and nail our targets. I don't know. I think that's why LSU is the most interesting to me.
I do want to sneak in A&M just for a second. I know we talked about that decision being made, right? Haynes King was announced this past weekend. Max Johnson, QB2 now. Max Johnson comes in arguably with a slightly bigger resume when it comes to game experience, but they're that confident in Haynes King that we're going back to where we were a season ago.
Slightly bigger, way bigger.
Way bigger.
His resume.
Way bigger. Yeah, we'll started more games. We'll see. Hey, come hang out with us Out of Pocket on tonight on the SEC Network.
And back on the program, Sheila's up next in Birmingham. Hello, Sheila. Good afternoon.
Hi, Mom. How you doing, Paul?
We're doing well. Thank you.
You're looking good, Paul, but I'm so glad you had Brian Hartson on. I missed it, but I know, you know, the thing about it is the guy has it. I got to give it to him. You know, I go back to the boys in blue when he switched up the turf and everything. You got it. The guy has it. Maybe we ought to cut him a little slack, okay? This AD situation is gone, the whole COVID situation, all that's gone. Let's cut him a little slack. Let's see what, like you said, he's got a couple of layups. Gives him an opportunity to have more than a spring game. So, you know, I'm gonna wait and see. I'll be at that game, Paul. I'll be calling you on money. I'll be at that game. Purposely, tickets are $18. All of you can be at the game.
Well, yeah, I mean, also, he's in a weird position where, not weird, it's, I mean, there's no mystery. He wins and keeps his job. He loses and he's gone. I mean, that's good. You hate those tweeners when you have no idea what's going on behind you.
That's right. That's right. And you know what is? You know, we gotta put ourselves in his mindset. He's got to win. And like the coach from the former coach from UGA, he's got to bring it, or it is what it is. He's not gonna. I don't want to say he's not gonna be there. He may have an early exit. And if that's the case, you need to look up to Jacksonville State University and bring up Rich Rodriguez. He's up the street as an interim. You know, there's a lot going on with him. So I'm going to fall back. I'm going to all the games this year. I'm going to watch, and I'm going to be fair, because with all the AD situation and the fact that he didn't know the culture, but he came in with his own culture. I think it's great. I think the Boise culture, the edge, all the weird uniforms, all that's great. I think we wait and see if he's now adapted and he's got his quarterback and he can do what he needs to do if he has to do it. On the other hand, Paul, you got a comment? I need to stop right there.
Sheila, unfortunately, we're at the end of the hour, but we will continue. One more hour to go. We hope you'll all stick around.